All right, if you got your notes there, we'll jump right into it here. We're continuing in our series on pulling down strongholds and looking at some strongholds in the Christian life, not really for the unbeliever, but we're talking primarily to the believer tonight, to the saved child of God, all of you in here, and praying for you to continue on. I hope that you're doing good and being successful in your Christian life, but there are some strongholds in our lives, and we walked through and looked at five of them already, and I'm hoping to get through this one and then maybe one more and we'll be done, and that's all we got to deal with. Okay, that's all our strongholds. If you will go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, the one I want to talk about tonight is that of fear. Fear. There's a lot of people today that have fear, and I was looking this up this week, pretty interesting to study. A lot of people got fear, don't they? If you read through the list of phobias people have, it's funny. They got all kinds of words for phobias. They're these long, long words. And the ones I noticed was arachnophobia. And if you don't go watch that, remember that movie? Don't go watch that movie, man. And that'll mess you up. And I kid you not, yesterday I was sitting at my desk right over here and studying and just, I was plugged in, man. I was typing over, just plugged. And a spider crawled up on my desk like this. And he waved at me. I waved at him. He just took off and left. He just crawled over. Okay. And then I forgot to tell y'all about this one. I was sitting at my desk last week, and I need to call the exterminator. I was sitting at my desk and felt something tickling my leg. And it was like my shin, you know, right above my sock. And I shook my leg. I thought it was just static or something. Tina, I'm telling the story. You might want to come in. I've already whined to her about this, but so I shook my leg, and then it kept tickling my leg, and I thought, what? So I stood up, I rolled my pants up, and I shook my leg, nothing was there, and I unrolled my pants back down, and out fell a centipede about that big, and I was like, oh, God, I kicked the thing, and I don't know where it went under my shelf or something, and so I am kind of a baby, but anybody else ever had a centipede on their leg? Oh, okay, several of you, good, okay. Oh, okay, wow. Here we go, good. Anyways, okay, phobias, man, fear. Okay, if you will, notice 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you're there. And did I say verse 6? Yeah, verse 6. Notice what he says, wherefore I put thee, and I like these verses, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now, Paul's talking to Timothy, and he says, I ordained you, and you have certain gifts, Timothy. I want you to use those gifts. And then he says this, for God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so understanding that, we see that Paul points out to Timothy clearly that fear is really not from God. Now, we have a healthy fear, and we're going to look at that in a minute, a healthy fear of God. We ought to fear God. We ought to fear him. Jesus said, fear not man. All the man can do is kill you. Fear the one that can take your life and has the power to cast into hell. That's the one you fear. So again, we're to fear God. We'll look at that. But a lot of people today have a lot of problems and phobias that are unnecessary. And I wanted to encourage you tonight, if I can, maybe a stronghold for you would be fear. Okay, so look in your notes here first of all, God does not intend for us to live in constant fear or fear. The first mention of fear in the Bible is shortly after the fall. God came seeking Adam, and you know this story. He's calling out to him, and Adam tried to hide from God. Genesis 3:10 says, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. When sin entered the world, fear came with it. With sin came many things to cause us to fear. Now, again, we studied this in our Bible Institute, but when sin came into the world, a lot of things changed. And you have a point where Adam and Eve were really, you could have a lion walk right up and they're petting it. You know, hey, kitty, kitty, you know, everything's fine. When the fall came, man, a lot of things changed. And centipedes went from this to this. No, I'm just kidding. Have you seen those big centipedes? I'm stuck on the centipede thing. Those centipedes in like Brazil, they're like this. Ugh. Anyways, okay. Have you seen the giant bats? Have you seen those things? They're about 3-4 foot tall. You've seen those things? Do not look that up online. Okay. They're in South America, I think, but they're... Ugh. Okay. There is real demons out there. Okay. Where was I? Okay. Sin came into the world, brought fear with it. Okay, let's continue. There are many things around us today that can make us afraid. Now, this day is a day of much trouble. People are distressed and not without reason. Terminal diseases are on the rise. Divorce rate is at an all-time high. Prices at the market are never stable. Homicide, violent crimes are higher than ever in any other time in history. World is in a mess, getting worse instead of better. wars looming on the horizon in many places, especially in the Middle East. Several countries are embroiled in civil wars today. Crime increases daily in our cities so that many of them are no longer safe places to live. Now, did you see that on the news? We were ranked the worst state to live in. Did you see that? Okay, wonder why. Now, we were created with the natural ability to fear. Okay, fear is not a bad thing, nor is it a detriment to humanity. In fact, it's somewhat of a good thing. But notice, the real issue is that we have been deceived to fear the wrong things. Now, last week we talked about this, and remember, 1 Corinthians, he says, listen, you're taking your brother to court because he owes you 20 bucks, but you're letting fornication happen in the back of the church. He says, there's something wrong here. Okay, you got your priorities off. There's something wrong. And today we have the same thing. We're fearful of the wrong things. We're fearful of it. Now, again, when a person can commit a horrible act on his fellow man and fear no one or no thing or nothing, we are in a mess as a society. Again, proper fear has been given to us by our Creator, and when used properly, can give us a great advantage over the world, the flesh, and the wiles of the devil. Those are our enemies. When this fear is misused or misplaced on people or things that are not real or are not a real threat to us, we've lost the true meaning of what fear is. Now, when there is real danger that is present in our lives, it is wise to take necessary precautions. Now, just a couple verses on this, but notice Proverbs 14:15. He says, a simple believes every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Simple says, okay, yeah, whatever, I'll take it. No, well, he continues, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but a fool rageth and is confident. Now, this kind of fear is good. A wise man fears, takes advantage, says, okay, I'm going to depart from that. I'm going to use wisdom and discernment. Now, on the other hand, fear can also be an unnecessary tormentor. For in 1 John 4:18, he says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear hath, and then he uses the word there, torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Very interesting to study that. Brings torment, doesn't it? Fear all the time. And we could go through illustration after illustration of how people are fearful or they've been tormented by certain things, by some person in their lives, some creepy guy or something like that, a stepdad or something. They're fearful of it. Brings torment. An abusive parent or an abusive spouse or something. You know that. It brings torment. Notice Hebrews 2:15, if you have that. Oh, thank you. Notice, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. In that context, he's talking about being delivered from certain things, and one of them there is the fear of death. A lot of people have fear of death. I talked to an elderly lady one time, and she was so fearful of death. And she said, can I talk to you? Can I talk to you? And I talked with her and tried to help her, but she was just fearful of death, of dying. Now, again, as Christians, we don't fear death. We don't want to die. We don't go out with a reckless abandon and say, well, I'm not scared of anybody or anything. But we're not afraid to die because we know where we're going. And so we understand that. And clearly, we're delivered from that fear once we accept Christ and He becomes our God. Okay, so now this kind of fear is a result of not trusting God. We've already looked at that. So the question is it possible to live without fear? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. So first of all, notice number one, we must take refuge from the greatest of all dangers. Now, again, I know I'm talking to saved people tonight, but I have to include this. I have to because it is the greatest of all dangers. You never know who is truly saved. But the greatest danger, we know this, Luke 12, verse 4, he talks about this. Again, I already mentioned it. He says, listen, be not afraid of them that kill the body, but what? Have nothing else to do with that. Have no more that they can do. But the next verse he says, but I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. That's who you should fear. They said, Lord, who should we fear? What should we fear? You should fear the Lord. And the fear of the Lord brings great peace and a great enjoyment in life. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So the unsaved person, the wrath of God is abiding on them like a dark cloud. Now again, we said it before, but we're one heartbeat out of eternity. For them, they're one heartbeat out of hell. I mean, literally. We got to be careful. That's why we push the gospel all the time, because the wrath of God is on them. So it leads us to letter A. Notice God's wrath is a real and present danger to all unbelievers. Now, again, bear with me because you know these verses. But just to clarify, the real danger, the real fear that we should have. He says in Psalm 2, verse 12, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and he perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." He goes on in Psalm 7, verse 11, "God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day." And truly, he's angry with the wicked every day. Don't sidestep that. Oh, God is all love and all grace. He is, but he's angry with the wicked. When you, with these nations of the Old Testament that we've been reading through, like the Amorites and Hittites and others, and he says that iniquity that they possess, what were some of the things they were doing? They were killing babies. They were committing immoral acts with fellow man, all the kinds of things that are described in Exodus and Deuteronomy and then later in Romans 1 and 2. So we're thinking about those things. He's angry with the wicked every day. Now, John 3:18 declares, though, "He that believeth on him is not condemned." Excuse me, let me read. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So again, it's not, I said this many times, but a guy said to me, "God can't save me because I've sinned too much. You can't imagine the things I've done to people. He would never save me." See, that's not what's going to condemn you, sir, to hell. What will do it? Your unbelief. Did you see that? It's not that. "He that believeth not is condemned already." It's your unbelief. God can save anybody, and he wants to. He's not willing that any should perish. We've studied these stories like that. The son of Sam, he killed people back in the 70s in New York City. He today is the pastor of the prison he's in. He told one person, he said, "My calling is to pastor this prison." Isn't that wonderful? You know Ted Bundy and others. He supposedly got saved right at the end of his life before he was executed. But you never know. It's your unbelief. Okay, so let her be their safety. There's a place of safety, Proverbs 14:26. We find there's a wonderful place of safety. It is, yes. "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." You find refuge in him, okay, in him. Number one, he removes the condemnation, gives eternal life to all who trust in him. Again, you know these, John 5:24, "Verily, verily," again, somebody may be watching online tonight, just want to clarify this. "I say unto you that he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Shall not come into the condemnation," we just talked about, that condemnation, "but is passed from death unto life." John 6:47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." And then he gives comfort and assurance to all believers. 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on him," or on the name of the Son of God. Now listen, there's assurance in that. Have you doubted your salvation lately? Might be something that you've allowed into your life, something you've been listening to and watching, hearing, because we can have assurance. He says, "I wrote these things that you may know." That's head knowledge and heart knowledge. I know for sure I'm saved. Okay, now, that creates fear when we follow the wrong things. That leads us to number two, though. Notice, and this is for us tonight, we must learn to love God with all of our hearts. Okay, so now notice 1 John 4:15, and I want to read some of these verses here real quickly. We must learn to love God with all our hearts. And this has been interesting here. "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world," in this world. "There is no fear in love," as we read this, "but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Now, that sounds a little confusing, but basically saying if you truly love God and know God, you have assurance. Right? There's no fear in that. So we must love God with all of our hearts. And God created us to love him. This is the very purpose of our lives. He's at work in the lives of individual men and women so that he might bring them to himself. He is working to bring about the redemption of those who are lost and dying without him. This is his primary purpose. By the way, don't ever doubt that. Well, they'll never listen to the gospel if I share it. You don't know that. You don't know what they're going through. They're waiting for somebody maybe to speak up and say something about the truth. So he's working in the hearts of all people. This is his primary purpose. He then seeks a love relationship with those who believe him. His desire is that we love him with all our hearts, minds, bodies, and souls. God himself pursues this. He takes the initiative to bring us into the kind of association with him, that relationship. So we must love God with all of our hearts. Notice a few things here. Hebrews 12 talks about this, but we must put away anything that interrupts our focus on Him very clearly. Anything that interrupts our focus on Him. Familiar verses, but again, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now remember, he's talking about Hebrews chapter 11 gives the great hall of fame of faith and all the people that were faithful. And he says, we're compassed about with these witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So we must put aside anything that interrupts our focus. Under that, notice a few things. Sin is missing the mark of God's standard. Now, with that, we know and have studied this before, but the mark is there, the bullseye. People say, well, I would hit the mark if I could. I'm just a bad shot. Nuh-uh. When he speaks of sin, we have the ability to hit the bullseye. We can do it. If we just aim at it and shoot, we can hit it. The problem is we purposely miss the mark. So we have the tools and ability to hit the mark. So where's the problem? It's in me. I've willfully missed the mark. I missed the standard, if you will. So anything that interrupts my focus on Him will bring about a fear. Now, number two, weights are anything that would hinder your race or limiting you from exercising your full potential. You call it maybe hot dogging it or sandbagging it. You know, you get into a race and you don't put forth the effort. You know, you get into a dirt bike race or you're running track and field and you know you're faster than everybody else, but you kind of sandbag it and you lag behind or whatever. He says, no, when you have the ability to run at full potential and you don't do that, usually it's because of a weight in your life. So you allow these things in, it will take our hearts off of God and cause a fear. Thirdly, our adversaries are working to distract and disrupt our race. Now notice what they do. They cause disappointment, discouragement, and defeat in the Christian life. The average Christian today walks around with discouragement, disappointment, and defeat. There's no joy. There's no victory in their lives. The Bible says we have the victory now. We can walk around with victory. Now we walk around with these things. Why? Trying to get us off, get our focus away from Him and onto self. And when that happens, there's a lot of things that happen, especially fear, fearful, anxiety. Letter B under that, notice though, we must separate ourselves from that which stirs up fear and anxiety. Notice Galatians 5:7. I like this. He says, ye did run well. Past tense, ye did run well. Your race was going pretty good. Notice, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Who hindered? It's usually a who in your life. Not so much what, but who. Someone may have come into your life, and in this case, we know they came into the church and began to refute all that Paul preached to them and taught them. So we must separate ourselves from that which stirs up that fear. One, it could be a separation from family members or friends, maybe people in your life. Again, I encourage you with that. There's people in your life that, you know, you love and respect and honor and all that, but they're causing you to pull away from God. They're causing anxiety or fear in your life. You might want to separate from them. By the way, the Bible tells us to do that. We separate ourselves from anyone, as we read last week, that walks disorderly. That's not according to the Bible. We're not mean or divisive or harsh with them. We love them and want to try to win them. But you may have to separate yourselves a little bit from them. Number two, it could be from entertainment or media that creates fear, animosity, or comparison. That's what they do, don't they? Social media brings comparison. And you see your brother that lives over wherever, and he's got all this fancy stuff. Boy, we had that. You know, you see these people, your cousins and friends or whatever. It creates in us that stuff. We need to get away from that. By the way, you stick into this book right here, not Facebook, but you get into this book right here, boy. It'll create victory, man. It'll create confidence. It'll create all the things we're supposed to have. I can be that. I am a child of God. Oh, wow. We think about these things. It could be, thirdly, a past experience or past experiences or traumatic events that stir up fear. You can't help those things that come to mind. You can't stop that. It's going to happen. Here's the thing. We can't dwell on those things. Don't dwell on that. Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, man, you sit there and just sulk and think about it for a while. Get away from that. And easy to say, hard to do, but immediately run to the Lord in prayer. Immediately run to Him in the Word of God. Get in your Bible. Start praying. Lord, help me, guide me, direct me, strengthen me. Okay, what we're talking about is we got to love God with all our hearts. If we're going to eliminate or really push aside that fear, that the adversary or our adversaries are trying to create. And then a letter C, we must take the necessary steps to change what we can. And then I have in my notes on the side, trust him with what we cannot. Now, have you heard of the Serenity Prayer? Some of you heard that. Alcoholics Anonymous like to use it a lot. But it's Lord, basically, Lord, help me to change the things I can and accept the things I can't and to know the difference, or the wisdom to know the difference, something like that. It's pretty good. I like that. But you think about it, it's true. Change the things I can and trust them. You can't change who you were born to. You can't change where you were raised. You can't change your ethnicity. You can't change a lot of things. But there's a lot of things I can change, and I don't do it. There's a lot of things I can change, and I won't do it. Too lazy, or I don't want to. I like sitting, sulking, and thinking about some of those things. You know, I like that. No, we can change it. Okay, so we must learn to love God with all our hearts. We focus on him. What's hindering your race? What's holding you back? Number three, then, we must trust him totally with every area of our lives. Okay, you know this, and I know this, but it really helps to remind us of some of these things. Notice Proverbs 29:25. It says, the fear of man brings a snare. Isn't that true? You fear man, brings that little snare. You remember in Boy Scouts or something, remember? They teach you how to make a snare, and you find the little trail where the rabbits run or the squirrels run. And you take two sticks on the side. You put that little loop in the wire, and as soon as they step through it, and the harder they pull on that snare, the tighter it grips on that little paw, you know? And that's exactly what it did. The fear of man keeps us so from doing things we should do. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. That word safe carries with it strength and boldness. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tends to life, or tendeth to life. He that hath it shall abide satisfied, shall not be visited with evil. Very clear. So we must, A, acknowledge him in all things, right? You ever been somewhere and you weren't even acknowledged? You know, you walk into a party or an event or some kind of maybe business thing or some work-related thing, and nobody even acknowledges you, or and maybe that's in your own house. I don't know, but you walk in and you're going, man, thanks a lot. Jeez, man, I feel like a nobody over here, you know. You know that God wants us to acknowledge him in every area of our lives. And really what it means is throughout every day, you're acknowledging him. Lord, thank you for this vehicle. Lord, thank you for these clothes. Thank you for this meal tonight. Lord, I pray you'd help me to be better at this. Lord, strengthen me. You're just acknowledging him in everything. Whereas if you've been somewhere and you've been acknowledged, it feels good. You like that. And he says in Proverbs 3:5-6, a familiar verse, we all know it, but he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, here it is, acknowledge him and he'll direct thy paths. If we'll just ask him, he'll show us what to do. If we'll just ask him, he'll show us where to go. I mean, really, it sounds a little cliche, but it's true. Okay, one, under that, notice God is working in your life. I like what he says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13 to that church there. He says this and very clear. He says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Why did he thank God? Because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The word of God has an effect on us. It changes us. So God is working in us. He began that work at salvation and he will complete it. Philippians 1:6 and some of these verses, yeah, thank you. Being confident this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ. We often think this, well, Lord, I was doing real well, but are you still with me here? I mean, are you still helping me? He'll perform it. He'll complete it. The problem is you and I, we stop serving. So do you have the other one? Yeah. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. What that means is God is working in you to do his will. So it's so hard to follow God's will. I keep failing and messing up. Well, God is working in us daily to help us complete or accomplish his will in our lives. Isn't that a wonderful comfort to know? He wants you to succeed. I've said it so many times. His desire is that you would win, that you would succeed, right? Now, again, we see that. He is now working in you to lead you to do his will, as we just read that. Number two, God is carefully supervising everything that touches your life. Romans 8:28 says again, we know all things work together for good to them that, notice, here it is, love God. Not everything works together for those that don't love God, right? They blame God for cancer. They blame God for the loss of somebody. They blame, that's all they do. I'm surprised, aren't you surprised that people don't, they say, I don't even believe in God, but you want to blame him for everything, you know, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, we need to learn to look for God's hand in everything. Beware of thinking that God had nothing to do with it. God's involved with everything. We believe he's sovereign, meaning he's overall. We have to acknowledge that. Well, God's in control over here, but over here, I don't know, we better handle it ourselves. You know, we better figure out how to do this for ourselves. No, he's in control of it. We must understand that he's working in our lives, but he's carefully supervising everything that touches our lives. Now, some people, they go to these faith healers and other people, and when God doesn't answer that and bring them up out of the wheelchair and heal everything in their lives, they get mad at God. It's sometimes not God's will that we get healed. It's sometimes not God's will that you get away from those things, maybe debilitating problems or diseases or whatnot. We need to understand that. So he's supervising everything. That eliminates a lot of fear in our lives. I trust you, Lord. I know you're in control. I'll let her be under this, and then we'll begin to wrap it up here. Obey him at all costs. Again, it goes along with, you know, learning to love him with all our hearts and trusting him. But obedience and faith are inseparably bound together. Underline that. It's so true. If I truly believe God, I will seek to obey him. That's just natural. When I know that God is directing me to do some specific thing, I move in that direction. So again, we talked about this, I think, a couple weeks ago, but by way of waiting on God and trusting him. But number one, make sure it is God directing you. And I say that because there's a lot of other things directing us. My own desires, my own ambitions, my own wants. I kind of like that. I want to go after it. Besides that part of it, there's other things directing us. We have a real adversary. He can't possess us. I said this already, but he can oppress us, and he oppresses us every day. One of the ways he oppresses us is get us to not trust God and figure it out on our own. You need to figure out how to get out of this financial mess. You need to figure out how to fix this marriage. You need to figure out how to fix this problem here and there. Why don't you trust God with it? Why don't you bring it before God and trust him with it? It's easy to say again. But make sure he's directing you. Okay, so again, reading our Bible, very simple, letting God confirm his will through the word. Set a specific limitation. Let God prove that it is his will. Now, Gideon in Jude 6 talks about this. Remember, he puts the fleece out. Some people say, well, you shouldn't put a fleece out. You should just trust the Lord. Well, it's easy for you to say till you get into that situation and you're going, Lord, can you maybe confirm that? Can you confirm I'm supposed to be a missionary to Uganda? You know, are you sure I'm supposed to share the gospel with my coworker? Man, that's going to be tough. I don't know what to do. We want to prove, and it's okay to do that. He allows us to do that from time to time. So you can put it out. God will answer you, but make sure he's directing you too. Take necessary steps to move in that direction. There will be some risk involved. Okay, some of our younger people trying to decide to go to college or not. It's going to take some risk, isn't it? Man, you're going to have to meet new people. There's going to be some people that aren't so nice to you. You know, you're going to have to step out by faith and do some things. For us today, maybe some risk would be taking in one area of your life. But we take out and take those steps forward. There will be some proving from the Lord. He's going to prove us. He wants to see. By the way, God proves his children. He wants to know if you're really faithful. He wants to know if you're going to do what he said. Now, that's not a mean God that's dangling a carrot in front of us. Okay, you almost got it now. Let's see if you can really be faithful. He doesn't do that. What is he doing? It's called tempering. He wants to see if we're true. Not a bunch of flakes, right? We're fraudulent. We're fake. We're fickle. One of the ways is you come to church. Another way is, do you read your Bible? Do you pray? Are you faithful in the basic things? And by the way, I know I'm preaching to the choir here tonight. You all do that so well. Okay. But you move in that direction, right? Now, thirdly, we wait for him to make things happen so you and I can do his will. He'll work. And we talked about waiting on him and trusting him in that. So we must trust him totally in every area of our lives. The fear comes when we try to do it on our own. Why? Because we know we're fallible people. We know we can't do it. We know we're not very talented. On the other side, you may be maybe a little more none of you people, but you may be pompous and proud and arrogant. Well, I can do that. What happens when we get in that position? We always fall on our faces. God hears the humble. He's with the humble. He's against the proud. So lastly, notice loving God, trusting him are necessary to pleasing him. Our Christian life is pleasing to God to the extent, notice, we do this. As we do, we find that we have peace in the midst of a troubled world. Proverbs 16 and verse 7, he says this, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And then lastly, again, we started out in 2 Timothy 1. He says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Now, the fear, when you have fear in your heart, it's not from God. Okay. You have fear of God. Yes, that's from God. You have fear in general. That's not of God. What has he given us? Power. Power to what? Power to be the person you're called to be and not what you want to be. Power to be the right husband. Power to be the right wife. Power to be the right Christian. Power to be the right witness. Power to abstain from sin and do what God's asked us to do. Power to be uncomfortable and not give in to pleasure. That's the power he gives. It's a dynamite power. He gives us, secondly, love. Love the unlovable. Love what you don't want to love. I don't feel like loving that. Doesn't matter about feel. Is it a command? Then you obey it. The love you can extend to people. And then he says a sound mind. In some versions, it puts a disciplined mind, which I think is a little bit of a not a very good translation, but a sound mind means a right mind. People walk around today delusional. They think they're something when they're not. They watch television and entertainment, think that they can do those things, you know. Not only that, but they live with, they're taking prescription pills and alcohol, and they're watching things they shouldn't, all kinds of things that delude our mind, and we're living in this alternate reality, right? All kinds of things. That's not a sound mind. A sound mind comes directly, and I want to talk about this on Sunday, Lord willing, but a sound mind comes directly from the Bible. It'll bring, you want reality to smack you in the face? I shouldn't say that, but you want to run right into the wall of reality? Read the book, right? The first thing you read is all of sin and come short of the glory of God, you know. I know that. I read the Bible, I realize, man, how much of a, oh, man, you're reading this Bible every day, you realize how much of a lousy Christian you are. You're going, man, Lord, help me and guide me. Oh, my friends, that's what God's given to us. And that brings a light to light a lot of things. So again, do you have fear tonight? I have fear. I know you do. Is it the right kind of fear? If you're living for God, if you're focused on him, if you're faithful to him, again, this is what I encourage you with. Stay close to God. Stay close to God. When you have that big best friend or that big brother, that big sister, for me, I had a big sister. And, you know, something happened on the playground. He says, sis, or brother, come on over. I got this guy. They'll handle business, man. They'll take care of it. But you think about some of that, you don't have a lot of fear. You know I have the confidence. I have that in me, and I can stay close to God. God will take care of it. I don't have to live in this delusional state like most people. I can pull down another stronghold of fear. Okay, so anyways, I hope that helped you and encouraged you in some way. But again, take that home. Read it. Study these verses for yourself because they'll really help you. And again, correlate, put those verses together in your Bible, cross-reference these verses, and maybe share it with somebody. It'll help them as well. A lot of fear today in this world. So many people are scared and fearful. You can't watch the news but for 5 minutes, right? And it's all about negative, 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 fearful. And we live in a fallen world, but one day God's going to make it all straight and all right. Amen. All right. All right. Lord, thank you for this evening. Again, for your grace to be here and to share this word. I hope it was something said tonight was a help and a blessing. Thank you for the opportunity to pray tonight for these on our list. Pray you help them and guide them. Be with us the rest of our week, Lord. Bring us back on Sunday. We'll give you the praise and glory for it all, Lord. Watch over us. Give us the strength over the fearful world in which we live. We have that power, love, and a sound mind, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.